Mr. Morrison has made a statement in the House of Commons about the disappearance of the two Foreign Office officials.
Donald MacLean disappeared on May the 21st, 1951, just days before MI5 had planned to confront him.
Security aspects of the case were being investigated.
It would be several years before the authorities got any firm evidence of where they were, and rumour thrived in the vacuum. Speculative sightings were sent into the Foreign Office.
Last Monday, I was waiting for a number 60 bus to Lower Regent Street. Two men were talking. Suddenly, I heard the older of the two say, "Burgess I can contact at any time, but the other..." He did not finish the sentence, but shrugged his shoulders, turned away, and walked towards Piccadilly Circus.
"Mr. MacLean and Mr. Burgess are dead and buried under my floors. It will be 4 months next week, so you may guess what they are like by now."
Foreign Office staff were amused by suggestions that they use a clairvoyant to try to find them.
"I fear that clairvoyancy is not included in our repertoire of technical subjects. Perhaps you have someone qualified?"
"We have no establishment for clairvoyance as yet, but we could well use the part-time services of one for deciphering Tokyo telegrams."
Philby was horrified when he learned of Burgess's defection. He knew it would immediately cast suspicion onto himself. Even today, Andrew Lowney isn't sure why Burgess did go with MacLean to Russia.
"There's some suggestion that he knew he would be going and wouldn't be coming back. There's some suggestion that he thought he would get all the way to Moscow and be allowed to come back. And there's some suggestion that he was tricked, that he thought he would only go halfway, he would have escorted MacLean to a Russian agent, and then he would be able to go off and do his own thing."
Whatever the reasons for Burgess's disappearance, it was soon obvious to those in the Foreign Office and MI5 that Philby was the third man, responsible for warning MacLean that he was in danger. But he was protected for many years by his employers in MI6, who refused to believe he was guilty. I'm walking past two gigantic marble columns to stand at the bottom of the grand staircase of the Foreign Office, crowned by two vast gilt chandeliers. And at the time of his disappearance, Donald MacLean was in charge of the American desk here. He was highly regarded, seen as diligent and reliable. Guy Burgess, however, was a much more divisive character, and colleagues weren't slow to put the boot in.
"I thought him an odious specimen.
I think he was probably ambidextrous sexually before the war."
Burgess's open promiscuity, at a time when homosexuality was still illegal, clearly troubled some of his colleagues.
"He was certainly promiscuous and revolting physically in his habits."
And once it emerged that Donald MacLean, although married, was also bisexual, the implications were clear. The homosexuality that united the two fugitives was a sign of unreliability, perhaps even dishonesty. Matt Cook, Professor of Modern History at Birkbeck University of London, says homosexuality presented a threat at a time when fears over communism were running high, both here and in the United States.
"There was this idea that the homosexual might be particularly susceptible to becoming a spy, partly because they could supposedly be blackmailed into betraying their country, but also that there was a command to their loyalty that was beyond queen and country or king and country. And this related especially to a homosexual man who might be travelling to Paris or Berlin or down to the Mediterranean."
But I suppose it did turn out to be true in their case, didn't it? They were communists.
They were homosexual
and bisexual.
Absolutely. And in Burgess and MacLean's case, there's more of a sense of ideological commitment to communism rather than it being particularly the homosexuality that kind of led to their betrayal.
Just a few weeks after the disappearance, Sir William Strang, Permanent Undersecretary at the Foreign Office, sent a letter to all foreign posts.
"Since the disappearance of MacLean and Burgess became public, there has been volunteered to us a great deal of information about their characters, dispositions and private lives, which would have substantially affected our handling of their cases."
He reminded diplomats of the dangerous international climate they were now in. A weakness in character, he suggests, could expose a member of staff to blackmail, scandal or undue tension.
"Possible danger signals are sexual abnormality, bad company, undue extravagance, unexplained overstrain or nervous trouble, marked instability of character and, with a more direct bearing on security, communist or fascist associations."